And we praise God. Little fog out there. As we were driving in the fog, you know, as I walked through the door of the church, and I just heard God say, you know, that when we walk around in confusion and we walk around not knowing what to do, it's like walking around in a fog. Mm-hmm. And you even hear that phrase, your head is in a fog. Mm-hmm. And that means that just as you have trouble seeing things on a road that is foggy, or you can't see too far ahead of you as you go because it's foggy. Same thing spiritually. If we're spiritually foggy, you can't travel. It's unsafe to travel.
Yes. Yes.
You can't see what's in front of you. And so we cannot afford to be spiritually foggy. And as we were walking through the door, I just heard the Lord say that His word dispels the fog. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
And that's why we need to stay in the Word. I believe that as Christians, if we stay in the Word, we will have smoother and clearer sailing. Mm-hmm. But if you don't stay in the Word, and the Word dispels the fog, then you have a greater likelihood of being foggy. And not being able to see clearly down the road. And I think that's why some Christians, where they should be further down the road, are not. Mm-hmm. Because the journey is more treacherous and it's slower because of the fog.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So we need the Word of God to dispel the fog. Amen. We don't want to be foggy Christians. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we come to the Word, and that's why we, you know, Bible study is good, and our reading is good, and our devotions are good. And by the way, remind me, we have the Men of Integrity in the back. I forgot them Sunday. I forgot to bring them Monday night, but I have them tonight.
Good.
Amen. But we don't want to be foggy Christians, and so that's why we reverence the Word, and we need the Word in our lives. I was noticing last night, I was joking with my wife, because normally, like, whoever is, like, getting prepared for bed first would get out the pajamas of the other one. Mm-hmm. And so, like, last night, like, second night in a row, not that I'm counting, she didn't get out my pajamas. I said, not counting. It just happened. And so I said to her, away with Rehoboam. No, I said, what? House of David, you have no part in us. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, remember when Rehoboam said you're going to raise the taxes and the other tribes said, you know, House of David, you have no part with us. I said, that's how you treated me. Like, I have no part with you. You got out your pajamas and left me alone. And I realized something. That when terms as humor reference the Bible, that means God is getting inside of you. You know what I mean? In other words, you can just say anything, right? Uh-huh. But, you know, I just thought that was a good thing. I said, that's pretty cool that I want to tell a joke and I'm referencing
the Word.
Because mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
I think that's why you can't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Because the Holy Spirit brings the Word to you. And in that instance, and I'm joking with my wife, I said, House of David, you have no part in us. And here's a real funny thing. Those who don't read their Bible won't get the joke.
Right, they had no idea what you're talking about.
They won't get the joke. You remember a couple years ago, somebody had to work hard, or you were working us hard, or you were doing something. I said, oh boy, she's making us make bricks without straw. Like Pharaoh did to the children of Israel after Moses said, let my people go. Make more bricks and make them without straw. Again, somebody who don't read the Bible, they won't get that.
Right.
See, don't hang around me, because I'm going to tell some jokes that are going to be laced with the Word. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God does have a sense of humor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I ask you to turn with me to the book of Job, second chapter, the book of Job. I believe God wants to say a few words to us tonight about something that is important for all of us, as believers especially, and that's integrity. Mm-hmm. Amen. Integrity. Having integrity is important. If we are disciples of Christ, if we are born-again believers, if we are children of God, then we should, in fact, we must be people of integrity. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at the second chapter of Job, read a few scriptures there. Then we're going to turn to some other scriptures, and also, too, just talk and hopefully have a little conversation about integrity. Amen. Amen. Let's pray first, and then we'll dive into the second chapter of Job. Father, we bless you tonight. Thank you, first of all, God, for bringing us here tonight safely over the roadways. Father, now that we're here, God, we desire to receive a word from you, O God. We have pressed through this day in the middle of the week because we have a desire to be filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So, God, we ask you to have your way. Pour out of your spirit into us, O God. Open our eyes that we may see and know the truth. And you said the truth that we know would make us free, free from all the snares, traps, and bondages of the devil. And so, Father, we come to you right now thankful and excited that we shall receive your word. Today we shall be taught the word of God. And we give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so integrity. Let's look at Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And still he holds fast his integrity, although thou moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Do you still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Amen.
Amen.
So we see here, amen, this is after, you know, the first chapter of Job. We know that he lost his business, or his businesses. He lost animals. He lost servants. Most of all, he lost all of his children. Mm-hmm. And all in the same day. And again, the sons of God had come before the Lord, and Satan was with him, and he asked, you know, for permission, or had to get permission from God to touch Job's things and people in his life. And it says here in chapter 2, again there was a day, because now here the sons of God come one more time, and Satan is with them. And it's interesting how he says, and you know, the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And remember how the Bible says Satan is? That he walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's an interesting thing that we will talk about one of these days. And that's this. There are many Christians walking around. Why doesn't Satan just devour the first one he sees? That's why he gotta walk around looking. Because not every Christian is devourable.
That's right. Wow.
Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have to look. He just gotta find a Christian. Not that he's just after Christian, because he's after non-Christians as well. But my point is, right, he wouldn't have to, why look? He can close his eyes and just bump into somebody and devour them.
Right.
But he can't. Because when it comes to the children of God, you know, some of us, and indeed all of us should be, undevourable. Amen?
Amen.
But anyway, in this portion of the scripture here in Job 2, we see the word integrity used twice. The first time, God uses it in verse number 3. He says that even though some things had happened to Job without cause, he says to Satan that Job still holds fast his integrity.
Yes.
Right? He still holds fast his integrity. Even though some bad things have happened to him, he still holds on to his integrity. And in fact, I believe that, well, let's go to the second one. The second place where it's mentioned is in verse number 9. When Job's wife says to him, after all these things, essentially, right? She said, do you still retain your integrity?
Yes.
So it's interesting. God was complimenting Job for maintaining his integrity despite what happened to him. And his wife was criticizing him for maintaining his integrity despite what happened to him. Interesting take, right? Two different takes on the same integrity. This wasn't a different integrity his wife was talking about. It was the same integrity that God mentioned to Satan as a positive. He still holds on to his integrity even though you moved me against him without cause.
Yes.
That same integrity that God praised, his wife, Job's wife, criticizes. Do you still retain your integrity? Now, let's do this. Some of the definitions of integrity. Soundness and wholeness, completeness, is one definition of integrity. And it's usually used with a structure, a building, piece of furniture, a bridge, you know, where you say that, you know, this structure has integrity. If it doesn't, you know, maybe the authorities will condemn that building or otherwise remove people from that building, because what happens if a structure doesn't have integrity?
Right.
It can fall. It can crumble.
Right.
So a lot of times, so I just said earlier that integrity, when you say soundness, wholeness, or completeness, is often used with a structure. But the question is, could we also use soundness, completeness, and wholeness as a definition for integrity when referring to people?
Yes,
we could, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if lack of integrity can cause a business to fall or to crumble, what do you think it can do to a person?
Yes, Jesus.
The same thing, right? It can cause a person to fall or crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Other definitions for integrity that we usually attach to people or think you hear words like value or values or morals, honor, truth. I've also seen the word incorruptible used as a definition or a synonym for integrity when talking about people.
I think of uprightness.
Yes, that's right. And you see that in the Bible a lot.
Yes.
Uprightness. Mm-hmm. Right? Where that is used, these words are used as synonyms for people with integrity. Mm-hmm. Easy question. Who in the Bible would you say you've come across in your reading is someone who you can point to and say, he or she has integrity? Yes, right? That's the easy one, right? Jesus. Jesus is the epitome of integrity, right? And, you know, sometimes for me, when I think of people with integrity, I think of people who will not compromise who they are, won't compromise on doing right, no matter the provocation or no matter the temptation that they may find themselves in. A person with integrity can find a wallet and will immediately start to think of how to get this to the proper owner.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Joseph was a man of integrity.
Yes.
When he said to Potiphar's wife, who was coming on to him repeatedly, day after day, he said, my master, to my Potiphar, has given me everything except for you.
Right.
If he didn't have integrity, that except for you would have prompted him to go, he's trying to hold you back from me. And that would have been a motivation for him to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But because he was a man of integrity, he said, I can't do this thing.
Right.
He's been good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right? Now, Potiphar's wife still set him up, grabbed, he left his cloak behind, she lied on him, we know the story, he ends up, but he was a man of integrity, because Potiphar's not around. And that's the thing about integrity. Integrity shows up whether people are around or not.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't do what's right, and you're not truthful, and you're not incorruptible, just because someone's watching you.
That's right.
Now, we know as Christians, and sometimes we forget sometimes that God's always watching us. But I'm talking about here, you know, sometimes children will act a certain way when mom and dad's around.
Yeah.
Sometimes employees act a certain way when the boss is around. It's amazing to me how many times I'll see somebody on the road tailgate me, go around me, you know, with that aggressive maneuver, speed down the road, and then all of a sudden I see their brake lights coming on because a cop's on the side of the road. Now all of a sudden you want to obey the law. But see, people with integrity don't need the cop to be on the side of the road. Joseph and I were at the store yesterday, and there was a cop car parked outside the store. And Joseph said, boy, I see a lot of cop cars around here lately. He said, maybe because it's the first of the month. I said, well, I heard that cops, you know, supposedly are out and giving tickets when it's toward the end of the month because they have to make their quota. I said, but quite frankly, I don't care if it's the first of the month or the end of the month. The cops can be out here all they want because I'm just going to continue to do what's right and they just going to leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Integrity is liberating, right? Because it's like, you know what? You can watch me or not watch me. You can trust me or not trust me. I'm still going to be true to who I am, what I believe, and the values that God has instilled in me. That's what a person of integrity says.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me or not.
Right.
You don't have to be around. Right? Person that has integrity, you can give them the keys to your house while you go on vacation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you don't have to worry that anything's going to be out of place when you come back.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that with everybody. You gotta find somebody who has some integrity. As people of God, if Jesus is the ultimate example of integrity that we see in the Bible, then don't you think he's our example, right? So shouldn't we, we're to take after him in that regard? And this is not for some, this is not for discussion necessarily, but it's a question that I think each one of us should ask ourselves. And that is, if we ask 10 people separately whether you were a person of integrity or not, what do you think they would say? And I just think that's something that we should consider. Because if they don't believe we're people of integrity, people of our word, people of high values and incorruptible, and people of honor, and people who will be true to their word. And I think integrity also includes treating people fairly and honestly. And if they don't believe that about us as Christians, that is a severe indictment on our walk. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and see about integrity, and just look at what they say and discuss them a little bit. Turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And let's look at verse number 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. This is a psalm of David. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Interesting thing David says here. He says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. And I believe that integrity is a protectant. It can protect us. It can preserve us. What are some of the things that you, that if you could think of anything that integrity can protect you from, preserve you from? But one of the things we talked about earlier, it might present you from falling and crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the building that lacks integrity crumbles or falls. What else do you think integrity can protect or preserve us from?
Lots of things. Stealing. Just because you happen to have an opportunity.
Right. Right. You're not going to steal, right? Right? You might not lie on others. What about this one? What about the lies of other people?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? See, someone can come, oh, brother so-and-so did this. But if you're known as a person of integrity, folk aren't even going to believe that. No, he didn't. Yeah. They weren't even there.
Right.
They weren't even around. But they're going to go, no, that don't sound like him.
Mm-hmm. He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. When people know you as a person of integrity, it goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
Even if people try to slander you and put some things on you, just like they did with Jesus, right? Because they lied on Jesus, they're going to lie on us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even the more. Because they got more ammunition against us. Because there's been some times where sometimes, you know, the truth is a little slippery. It's never that way with Jesus, amen? But it can protect us from those things, you know? It can protect us from false accusations. Where your character is such and it's so strong that people say, I don't believe that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned something earlier today, my wife did, when you said that, there was a certain person say, hey, they knew us, and they said, yeah, and somebody else came up to us, and they wanted to talk against you guys, and I said, no, you don't. She rose from our defense. We're not even there. Right? And sometimes that will happen too. I mean, there's been times I've heard, you know, people who are disgruntled with their church when they think they're going to come to me and talk about their pastor. No, you're not. Not in my presence, you're not bringing that to me. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. But also, if I know the person, no. Mm-mm, we're not getting into gossip and slander and all that kind of thing. But integrity can protect us from those types of things. Let's look at Psalm 26. So it was just one psalm forward. Let's look at verse number 8. Well, first of all, let's look at verse number 1. Again, this is the Psalm of David. He said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity." Now, if David says, "Judge me, O Lord, because I have walked in my integrity," what kind of, how does David strike you right there when he makes that comment? "Judge me, O Lord, because I've walked in my integrity."
See for yourself. He's not afraid. He's confident.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's not afraid. He's confident. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. He's confident. "Judge me, Lord. I've walked in my integrity." Mm-hmm. "Examine me." Right? Examine me, right? See, when the IRS sends you a letter and say, "We want to audit you," if you walk in your integrity, you know what you say? "Examine me, IRS."
Go ahead.
Now, you may not invite it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you're not staying up at night wondering if they're going to catch you because mm-hmm. you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not purposely anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You might have, now there might be a mistake or whatever, but you know if you're a person of integrity, I did not knowingly do anything that should put me in any kind of bad situation. So look at my taxes, IRS. I've walked in my integrity. Right? The husband who comes home and walks in his integrity, wife want to know, "Where you been? Give me your phone." "Here." Now, hopefully the relationship is such that you know your wife trusts you enough. But my point is, if you're walking in your integrity, "Here."
Mm-hmm.
"Examine my phone. Look in my logs. Check my text message, my instant messages, my emails, Instagram, Facebook page. Check it all." You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a confidence where you can stand flat-footed in front of people without shirking away and wondering and hoping they don't find something on you. I used to tell students when I dealt with them often, you know, when I was and had an opportunity to do it, to say, you never want to be in an interview where there's something on your transcript, in your record, or whatever the case may be, that you're silently saying, "I hope they don't speak about that."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean? "I hope they don't ask me what I got in math."
Right.
"I hope they don't ask me why I left my other job." There shouldn't be anything, because see, that's going to show through.
Right.
That uncertainty, that anxiety, is going to show through in your communication. How much better it is to be able to sit there in your integrity, knowing, not that your life necessarily is an open book, because people don't need to know everything,
right,
but the things they need to know, you're not ashamed of them knowing.
Yes.
Integrity can protect you, and integrity can give you that confidence. You can hold your head up high, right? You can talk to people. You can be mingling with people. You don't have to worry about who's coming. "Oh, he knows me. Let me get out of here." You know what I mean? Because you ran with him before. You did a dirty deed with him. And you're, "Oh, let me get out." So he said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in my integrity." That's verse number 1. Let's go down to verse number 8. "Lord, I have loved thy habitation, the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwells. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity, and redeem me and be merciful unto me." Because he says he's walking in his integrity, he David feels comfortable saying to God, "Redeem me and be merciful unto me."
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? "Look upon me with kindness. Look upon me with loving kindness." Right? "Look upon me with grace." Why? Because I have Walk in my integrity. Amen? Amen. I haven't cheated anybody. And you know, you think about it. There are many opportunities throughout the day for us to demonstrate our integrity or lack of integrity.
Oh, yes.
There are many opportunities during the day. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I know like in my business where I bill people by the hour. They don't see with me when I'm working. Mm-hmm. How would they know how many hours I put in? Mm-hmm. But my integrity keeps me right on point. I don't need them to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I send them my bill, I never go, oh, they're going to question my bill. I'm not saying they won't. But when the question comes, I don't fear the question.
Yes.
Right.
Why? Because I've dealt with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, when you try to double bill or, you know, you were watching television and you had their project on your lap while you watched 4 hours of television and you had a nerve to bill them for 4 hours.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
See, here's the thing about integrity, too. See, God wants us to be people of integrity. So if you're really walking with God, he's not going to allow you to be comfortable doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to allow you to rest in that stuff.
No.
Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But David is confident enough to say, first, right, examine me because I've walked in my integrity, but also to say, redeem me. There are people around me trying to hurt me. Right? Redeem me. Redeem my reputation. Show them to be wrong. Be merciful unto me. Why? Because, all because I walk in my integrity. Let's go a little bit further in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 41. Also a Psalm of David. David says in Psalm 41 and 12, he says, and as for me, let's back up, because I like Psalm 41 and 11. I wasn't purposing to read that one, but I like this one. I just like it. We're going to have to just say one word about this one. Psalm 41 and 11. He says, David says this, by this I know that thou favors me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. That right there to me, that scripture always just speaks to my heart. By this I know, Lord, that your favor is upon me. How? Because the enemy doesn't triumph over me. That's a powerful scripture right there.
Yeah.
Amen. We weren't going to touch that one, but when I got to verse 12, I just happened to glance at the first. Oh, I said, oh! I just love that scripture, amen. But isn't that the truth? The favor of God is upon us. How do you know? Because the enemy is not triumphing over you. Because the enemy is still looking to steal, kill, and destroy. And guess what? Here you are. Here you are.
Yes.
Not only do you still have the stuff God gave you, but God's increasing you. See, stealing takes away from you. God's not allowing him to be successful. You're still alive. Amen. And you're still, not only alive, but you're alive and kicking. Looking for better days, right? Hope and expectation in your heart and in your mind. Tomorrow's going to be better than today.
Yes.
Amen? Next week's going to be better than this week. Next month's going to be better than last month.
Yes.
At the end of this year, it's going to be better than the year I just came out of. And last year was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? The enemy hasn't triumphed over you. That's proof that God's favor is on you.
Yes.
Let's go to verse number 12, which is where we were headed anyway. And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and sets me before thy face forever. Amen. See, integrity allows you to be firmly in the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
He said, you uphold me in my integrity, and in my integrity, I'm in your presence. So what does that say if you're not a person of integrity? God is like, and it's not so much he's pushing you away, the lack of integrity pushes us away from him. God is an inviting God. He wants us all to come. Come ye who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He wants us all to come. Come to the waters and drink, right?
Yes.
Come and buy milk without a price. He wants us all to come. But our lack of integrity will keep us away. Why? Because he's a holy God, and you know you. Right? But he says that my integrity allows me to be before your face forever.
Yes.
How about this? How, if you believe that you're a person of integrity, or you know someone who is a person of integrity, how did they get there? Let's make it the other person because it makes it easier to discuss. Because I say you, you don't say, well, I don't want to talk about myself. But there's a person, you know, and I'm talking about a Christian now, right? A person, how did they get there?
Spending time with God.
Yeah. There's something about this word. Because this word is truth. And if you live your life by the word, or purpose to live your life by the word, more and more of your life is just simply going to be guided by the powerful truth of the word. You're just going to believe what it says. You're going to look at the example of Jesus and you're going to say, that's how I'm supposed to be. You're going to look at the giants of the faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and elsewhere, and you say, that's where I want to be. But also, too, you'll learn at those people that God was upset at. Because they acted a certain way, and you go, I'm not doing that. Because there's two ways you can learn. You can learn from positive examples and from negative ones. I know, you know, I used to look at my older siblings and saw how they got in trouble with my parents, and I said, I'm not doing that. When I get older, I'm not going to do that. I saw it got them in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you're going to have to knock me over the head with it. They get in trouble for that? Then if I do it, I'll get in trouble for that. I'm not doing that. And so sometimes the negative examples in the Bible, like for example, Cain, with his smart-aleck mouth. Right? You learn. I'm not talking to God like that. Now, he had bigger issues, but talking like that was indicative of those bigger issues that were going on in his heart. Am I my brother's keeper? You're talking to the God of all creation. Can I have some reference for it? So yeah, I mean, we read the Bible and that word goes to work on us and it changes us, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of us leads us and guides us in the right way to go.
Yes.
And the more we obey, the more we're changed, right? The more our mind is renewed.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, I've told it before and I'm not ashamed to tell it. Amen. I was just talking about taxes. I said, hey, IRS, look at me. I remember before when I knew I wasn't paying the taxes, my wife is laughing because she knows exactly what I'm going to say. Where there was a time where, you know, I worked for someone and they gave me a 1099. I didn't know what that meant. Then I looked it up, and they're like, oh, you got a 1099, you got to report that because it's untaxable income. You got to put on your taxes. And I put on my taxes, and I realized that we weren't getting much of a refund. I took the 1099 portion off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, let them catch me. Remember I said that? I never even said that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
They caught you.
Yeah, why? God said, let them catch me. God said, okay. Now, I wasn't a Christian at the time. We weren't saved at the time.
Right.
I want to make that clear. Anybody who gets the DVD or who gets the CD of this, they think that I was out there telling, all right, let them catch me. That's the preacher that was. No, this was before I was saved.
Yes.
But I'll never forget that, right? But see, now, being in the Word and God, I went to God, amen, that never think like that. Never say stuff like that again. Why? Because God has changed you, right? The things I used to do, I don't do no more. I know that's double negative, but it sort of had a better punch. I don't do no more, right? So we learn from the positive examples and the negative examples. Let's look at two more scriptures in Proverbs and then we'll close. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. Integrity is important, amen?
Yes.
And we're not dealing with each other, amen? Like I said, integrity will lead you to treat people fairly. You know what I mean? Because the one thing about truth is not conditional. In other words, truth does not change because circumstances around the truth changes. Right? Truth is not something that's found in a courtroom because you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but truth, right? Truth is when you're by yourself or you're in a full room of people. Truth is the same whether the people around you are strangers or close family members. Right? Truth is the same whether you're young or you're old. It does not change and modify based on who you're talking to, where you are, what your status is, or anything. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important. So guess what? So you'll treat people in a certain manner because you just have integrity. That's why, we said this before, and I think it's worth repeating, that if you want to really see the character of a person, look how they treat people who can do absolutely nothing for them. See, because people who you think could hook you up and help you, resume or with a job or some business, you want to treat them nice because there's something in it for you. But what happens when there's nothing in it for you?
Right.
See, to me, that's when integrity comes on display. That's when the real heart of a person comes on display. That they speak the same to the janitor as they do to the CEO.
Yes.
Amen.
My dad used to say, you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And I think that's pretty much
it. Sums it up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You do what's right because it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Not because you're told.
Right.
Not because you want to avoid punishment. And see, that's the difference. See, some people do right because they're told. Some people do right because they don't want to get in trouble. But when you do right simply because it's right, see, now you've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need anybody looking at you. You don't need anybody keeping tabs on you. They could if they want to. You don't care.
Because
I'm still just going to do what's right. Like you said, but less because it's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're looking at a couple of scriptures in Proverbs chapter 11. Verse number 3, it says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. See, the lack of integrity destroys you, right? We were talking about that. Lack of integrity, you crumble, you fall, right? Just as a building or bridge that lacks integrity. But if you have integrity, it guides you. Amen. We talk about integrity. We say, look, it helps you, you can stand confidently because you got integrity. You don't have to worry about anything. Right? You can be in the presence of God because you have integrity. Integrity protects you. And now integrity guides you. And think about how it guides you. It guides you in your course of action. Because now when the choice is before you, the temptation or the escape, the right or the wrong, integrity leads you into the right direction. It guides you. Amen. Integrity guides you. Let's look at the last scripture, Proverbs 20. I like this one. Proverbs 20, in verse number 7, it says, the just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. See, now, isn't that a blessing, right? That people of integrity leave a blessing for their children simply because they were people of integrity.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Blessings need to be received. And see, here's the blessing of the person who walks in his integrity. that person, him or her, left a shining example for their children to follow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when they say blessed, it doesn't mean that now stuff that comes to you as a child because your dad or your mom was a person of integrity. It means that they blessed you by giving you a day in, day out example of integrity that you should be able to follow yourself and get all the protection and the confidence and the mercy and the redemption and the guidance that we've talked about in some of the verses we've looked at tonight. That's the blessing. But blessings have to be received, you know. And if the children don't receive it, well, amen?
Amen.
This is not for children to go, okay, mom, then go be integrity. Go have your integrity so I can get my blessing. No. You got to walk in the example that they set before you, amen? And it's a blessing for children to grow up in a household. You've been talking about the last couple of days when you talk about little kids. You said that little kids will mimic what they see their parents doing. Yeah. And you gave the example the other day of, on the negative side, we were watching a little bit of a news report where it said a sixth grader in Philly or something brought crack to school and gave it to a fourth grader to hold for him. And then the fourth grader started passing it around. And they had to take kids to the hospital. And I'm thinking to myself, a sixth grader? Yeah. I said, he had to be 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And he bringing crack to school, and also then saying to a fourth grader, hey, hold my stuff for me. And you say, well, they follow what they see. Yeah. Then my wife told me the example of a friend of ours who their granddaughter, the grandfather is a preacher. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting at his table studying. Had his Bible open, had his notepad out, had his pen, had his glasses on. And a little baby, little girl, was she 2 years old?
Almost
two. Went and got a chair, got a little table, put some paper on the thing, got some little glasses, and was crying for, I need a pencil. And everything he did, he was writing, she was writing. He moved his glasses up on top of her head, she moved her glasses on top of her head. That's how it is with integrity, should be, right? When the children see the parents walking in integrity, they should mimic it.
Yes. Amen.
And that's the blessing.
Yes, it is.
That you mimic what you see. And the fact that you can mimic something good as opposed to mimicking the parent, you know, hiding some stuff in somebody else's bag. Mm-hmm. Instead of that, you mimic someone studying the Bible. Telling the truth, even when it may be to their harm. Isn't that what it says in one of the Psalms? I think it's Psalm 115, where it says, who can come up to this holy hill? And it's the one who swears even to his own hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even if it's going to come against you, you can still say, no. I mean, even small things. You know, you come into the store, and you know that customer was in front of you. And you're short for time. And the person behind the counter comes to you. Can I help you? Your integrity will say, she was first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have no integrity, go, well, she came to me.
Right.
You understand what I mean? God must have knew I needed her to come to me because I'm short on time. No. See, your time can be redeemed. If you maintain your integrity, go.
Mm-hmm.
She was first.
Yes.
But when we set that example, or others set that example for their children, that's the blessing. Amen. Yes. So we see there's benefits to being people of integrity. It's not just something that you say, hey, like you said, you do right because it's right. But here's the thing. We see some of the things that flow from it.
That's right.
Right? Guidance, protection, confidence, being in the presence of God, right? Receiving the mercy of God, being redeemed, all these things. And also God being so much, pleased with you that he can say, He walks in his integrity even though stuff has happened to him. Amen. Like he said about Job. Amen. Even though all these things happen to him, he still holds fast to his integrity. Amen. 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 So being people of integrity, amen, that's something that we all as Christians want to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We praise God for it. Thank you, Lord, for making us and continue to make us people and keep us as people of integrity. Amen.
Yes.
Let's pray tonight. Father, we bless you and we thank you, God, for your word. Your word has integrity. It has soundness, wholeness, and completeness. And we thank you that your word, as it goes into our heart, as we read it, as we meditate on it, as we study it, that, God, we are growing to be people of integrity. Continue to do the work in us, O God. Make us upright before you, God. We cannot do it on our own, O God. The Bible says that our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags. And so, God, we don't want to stand in our own integrity. We want to stand in yours. We believe that we are clothed with the robe of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it is his integrity that we desire to have and to walk in. Help us, O God, through your word and by your spirit, to be men, women of integrity, that we may allow our lights to shine in the earth, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Father, we thank you tonight for the word you have spoken to our heart. Let it inspire us, O God, let it encourage us, O God, to walk uprightly before you, because you said in your word, no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly before you. And we give you praise for it. Now, God, we ask you to guide us safely one more time over the roadways as we make our way home. Bless us with safe passage and with a peaceful and restful night. Father, we pray that you will continue to take up residence in our home and in our hearts, and continue to reign as God. We yield to your authority as we lift up our hands and bless you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with him.